chair, if you can believe it. I was elected in March of 2020, so that's how long it's been. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us this evening. I really do appreciate it. If you haven't seen, you have some coffee and munchies over here. I hope there's some munchies left. There's decaf and regular, so please do help yourselves throughout. Okay, so I'm just gonna call this meeting to order. Joe, are we recording?
Yes.
Okay, perfect, thank you very much. As always, I'm joined by my first vice chair, Victor Dadris, second vice chair, Christine Hayter, and third vice chair, Henry Euler. My name is Michael Budeman, I'm the chair, and then to my left here is our district office staff, Joe Marzignano, Christina Cantino. Oh, I see Jen's not here tonight. Okay. I have this whole spiel I usually go into about Zoom, but you don't have to say that. Not bad. I'm pretty excited about that. So we are going to get started with our Pledge of Allegiance. And instead of putting it on the screen, we have the flag. So please stand and join us as we recite the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, perfect. Thanks very much. I'm used to actually looking at everything on my screen, so if I pause or get a little flustered at some point here tonight, please bear with me. It's actually quite different doing this in person than when I'm running around with all my notes in the background here. So we're going to move to public participation as a general matter. Do we have anyone here from the 111 tonight, or were they not able to join us?
I do not see them.
Yeah, I'm not seeing the 111 here either. Nope. If anyone had any questions or comments that they wanted to direct to the 111, please just email the office, and we'll make sure that we pass those along. First off, we're going to hear from our elected officials who've been able to join us tonight. First up, I know we have State Senator John Liu. John, and I was just asking everyone to please use the microphones. In the past, we sort of made determinations on a case-by-case basis. I'm going to ask everyone to use the mic, so if you're comfortable, please walk up to the mic. If you want me to, I'm happy to bring this mic over to you. But please use the microphone just so that everyone can hear. Thank you. Senator.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm muted. All right. Well, great to see everybody here. First of all, congratulations on becoming chair of Community Board 11 and having your first in-person meeting. Let's give Mike a round of applause. I know there are new members, and even some of the continuing members may not have seen our chairman over the last 2.5 years since we last met in person. But I can vouch for Mike, he's been out there on the streets, whether he's giving out PPEs at the train station, which is something that we did jointly, or cleaning up the neighborhood medians along the boulevards, or a number of other activities alongside our district manager Joe and some members of CD11. I really applaud them for all that you do, and congratulations, and keep up the great work.
Thank
you. I'm not going to take all night, because I know you got a pretty busy agenda, and Mike runs a tight ship. I am delighted to be your state senator, and to have this opportunity to address Community Board 11 in just a few minutes. In the spring, I did give you an update via the Zoom meeting about what was happening legislatively and budget-wise in Albany. Today, I really just give you a quick legislative update on Albany matters. Number one, it's my highest priority as an elected official, no matter what office I've been serving in. It's not on my first rodeo to focus on education matters or public schools are number one priority, the biggest responsibility of both state and city government. And this year we did pass, and Governor Hochul signed it into law a few weeks ago, a bill that finally requires the city Department of Education to start bringing class sizes, the number of kids in our public school classrooms, down into manageable realms. New York City class sizes were significantly larger and still are significantly larger than the rest of the state and the country. And that is one of the reasons why the highest courts of New York deemed that kids were not getting a sound basic education. That was a lawsuit Back in 2006 and 2007, when it was finally resolved, we were supposed to give additional funding for schools all throughout the state and including New York City, but the state failed to do so for many, many years. And it was actually part of my campaign platform in 2018 to finally get that funding to New York City schools. We finally achieved that, and now it's incumbent upon the Department of Education to fulfill the fulfillment of a sound basic education, which can only be achieved if class sizes are not excessively large. So glad to see that that is happening. It's not an immediate thing. It's a 6-year phase in, 1 year to put a plan together, and 5 years to start bringing down all of our classrooms 20% at a time to the legal mandate. So by the time this is fully phased in and implemented, our class sizes will not exceed 20 students for grades kindergarten through third grade. Fourth grade to fifth to eighth grade, they will be limited to 23 students and 25 students in our high schools.
Wow.
What this also means is that part of the Department of Education's plan to use the billions of dollars of additional state funding that they will be getting, $1.6 billion a year in perpetuity, that is supposed to reduce class sizes, that is supposed to, it requires the Department of Education to come up with a plan. That plan necessarily means hiring more teachers, retrofitting some of the internal space in our existing school buildings to accommodate more classrooms, building additions wherever possible to existing school buildings. But one key thing, especially in our Northeast Queens area, is finding additional space, and specifically, finding space to build new schools. We've got Bayside High School here, Franny Lou, Cardozo, John Bowne a little further away, all way beyond capacity. We need another high school in New York Northeast Queens, and I would very much like to have it somewhere in Community Ward 11, or maybe Community Ward 7 or 8, but the point is, we need a high school Northeast Queens, and when the time comes, I'll be coming to you once again to consider spaces that the School Construction Authority has identified. If any of you can identify places, because I don't have anything right in mind right now, but if any of you can think of a place that makes sense to have a high school, I implore you to really think about the options and the potential. Everybody knows that we need a new high school, as well as middle school in Northeast Queens, at least one. But people are somehow reluctant to have it right where they live. And that's been an ongoing problem that we really, honestly, we need to overcome. So please help us identify the school spaces so that we can solve this intractable problem of having these excessively large class sizes. 20 years ago, I can't believe it's been 20 years. When I was a member of the city council, we had overcrowded high schools in Northeast Queens. 20 years later, I'm a state senator now. We still have the same problem, but no solution. My bill that mandates those small class sizes finally requires the DOE to put together that plan. But the DOE can't do it alone either. We need the entire community. That is where Community Board 11 is going to play a pivotal role. So thank you for paying attention to that class size issue. Two other quick things. One is that the Department of Education restored much of what I consider the recognition of diligence and achievement in school. And so when it comes to selective admissions to high schools and to middle schools, they have largely put back what the previous administration dismantled. Previous administration, perhaps during the pandemic crisis, went to a largely a lottery system for admissions into selective high schools and middle schools, including Townsend Harris, including many of the schools in our area. It was a lottery basis. The Adams administration and the Department of Education under Chancellor Banks has now reinstituted something where the grades that are earned by the students are going to become much more of a factor in which schools they are able to get into. So I think that is a good thing. I think we all want equity, And I'm a firm believer that equity does not come at the expense of excellence in any way whatsoever. And then finally, I do have some news that is personally sad to me. That is that, you know, this year was a redistricting year. Every 10 years, based on census results and the shifting of population, political boundaries have to be redrawn. And so at the beginning of this year, I was very happy because my Senate district, District 11 in the New York State Senate, was largely intact. And so I was looking forward to continuing to run for, and if the voters were happy, continue to represent this area, most of Community Board 11 in Northeast Queens. Be it as it may, later in the year, in May, there were court decisions that struck down the earlier set of district boundaries, and it got this guy from Pennsylvania to draw new district lines for all the congressional and state senate districts. My district, district number 11, is still a great district. It includes most of Ward 11. It includes College Point, Whitestone, Bay Terrace, Hollis, Coral Park, Little Neck, Douglaston. Great district. But my house is now five blocks outside of that district. I have no control over these lines whatsoever. So I was left with the choice of continuing to run in this Senate District 11, encompassing most of Northeast Queens. But in order to do that, I'd have to move my house. or I can run where I actually now live, which is District 16, which includes most of Bayside, including where we are sitting right now, but less of the Community Board 11. And it includes Bayside, Freshman Oaks, and Flushing, and Oakland Gardens. So it was a tough choice, honestly. I personally don't believe in moving just to run for election. I've been living in my house for 29 years. And honestly, the thought of having to clean up 29 years of junk from my basement, moving all that stuff, I couldn't move. So I'm continuing to live in the same house I lived in since 1993. And therefore I have to run in the district that I'm living in, which means I won't be representing any of my neighborhoods here, much to my sadness. But I do want to represent to you very clearly that I'm not going anywhere, hopefully not. If I'm not elected in November, on November 8th, and my opponent wins, then I'll make sure that there's no gap in coverage whatsoever, that he'll have full continuity and transition from my office. If I do win, then the new state senator who will be representing most of the area that I used to represent, I'll certainly make sure that my office coordinates very closely with them. The two people running are, there's Toby Stavisky, my current colleague. She's running in District 11. And if she is elected, I will certainly make sure that we have full continuity with her. If her opponent is elected, I'll do the same. No matter what, I implore all of you to not worry about exactly which Senate office you have to contact. You can continue to contact me. And when the time comes on January 1st, if I'm still in office, I'll make sure that I forward you the right people or connect you with the right people, the right person, in whichever the new senator's office will be. So with that, I thank you for this opportunity. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I think I might have gone over a little bit, but I don't know if you want me to take any questions or if I overstayed my welcome.
No. I think we should avoid questions for now, but if anyone does have questions for the state senator, please do send them to the office. We're happy to pass them along. Just want to say thank you from Queens Community Board 11, Senator Liu. It's been fantastic working with you. I know you'll get to still work with some of the constituents, but not all of them. We're certainly sad to see you go, but wish you the best of luck and really want to say thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Senator Lieb, sorry, I just wanted to ask, Senator Lieb?
Yes.
Sorry, just really quickly, when is that bill supposed to go into effect in terms of the class size limits?
It's in effect now.
Is that
the, the bill itself is in effect. It requires the Department of Education by next summer
next
to
summer.
Come up with the plan for the following 5 years. In the following 5 years, the city slash Department of Education is supposed to, in the first year, bring 20% of classrooms under compliance with those numerical limitations. And so by the end of the second year, it should be 40%, 20% additional each year until by the end of the 5 years, it's 100%.
Okay, perfect. And what I was just gonna say, you touched on something there that I think is particularly sensitive around here and really important, which is, as we're planning new big public projects in this district, we run into a friction, whereas everybody wants those projects to be completed, and then there's sensitivity about where those end up being placed. And one of the things that I've seen since I've been on the board is a pretty constant conversation that we don't get outreach early enough for the citizens here to have input into that location exercise. So I think it's really great that we're getting that information now. With the reduction of class sizes being implemented over the next 5 years, all of us already know that Cardozo, Bayside, Francis Lewis, these schools are way overcrowded in a manner that is unsustainable, especially if we're lowering class sizes, but frankly, regardless of that. I'd be interested in setting up a meeting with our education committee, Senator, so that we can find out what the criteria are in terms of where schools get located, so that we can begin a citizen outreach program and try and engage members of the district soon as possible to get people's input on this, because I think this has been something that's been frustrating to people, and here we have an opportunity where we know something's coming down the road.
Yeah.
So if it's okay, we'll contact your office just to show, does that work?
It works like, yes, it would be perfect. And in fact, as I said before, I don't have any locations in mind, but there's no question we need to find places. And to the extent that members of this board can be engaged in that and looking for that, those locations, that will, at the end of the day, bring about the best result. No, nobody knows the community more than the board members here.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We're going to do that. Thank you. Next up, we have Council Member Lee Palatino.
Good evening, everybody. How are you?
Good evening.
Welcome back. Wow. This is the first time I'm speaking before Community Board 11, and it's a pleasure to be here. I want to thank everybody. You got a hell of an organization. Really, really good. Anyway, my office, as you know, represents District 11, which goes from College Point to Douglaston Little Neck, and everything that falls in between, Bayside, parts of North Flushing, and we're very busy. As you know, John brought up a point about the schools. We just had an incident up on 48th and Bell, which should be a very big concern to everybody. It's a space that had some problems. It's four bus stops on the corner. It's right across the street from Bayside Hills. And what they started last year, the kids, as they are dismissed, it's a hub. It's where a bunch of kids get out of school all at the same time, which is about 215, 220. And they filter in from Cardozo, Francis Lewis, Bayside, and Francis Lewis, Bayside, and Cardozo. So you can have as many as 400 to 700 kids all on the same four corners. And what we had last year was absolute bedlam. They would invade the stores, trash the stores, and the cops were called in immediately, and we worked together with the 111, who was very understaffed, but we did manage to get a cop there every day. They actually started to come out the store owners in May of this past year, and now we waited for school to get back, and I'm hosting a safety town hall, actually, concerning this issue, and the kids started it again. And I put a video up, and very sadly, my office got a call this week, and it was insanity outside the convenience store on the corner of 48th and Bell. It was mayhem. And they finally, it was 2 days in a row, and you know, the cops cannot pursue chase. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. So if these kids run, They cannot chase them. It's not in their wheelhouse anymore. But they did manage to get the cop cars two blocks away, going down 48th Avenue, and they did apprehend two kids, and they charged them with gang-related fights. But this overcrowding of the schools is indeed a tremendous problem. We've got 3,600 kids in Cardozo alone. You've got 2,600 kids in Bayside as of June of last year. Francis Lewis, I'm not quite sure of that number, but I will be getting it. And that's what we've been doing. We've had a big flooding issue here again after Ida happened last year, which is when I was campaigning. And we got on it then, but now, 1 year and 10 days later, on the 12th of September, people were flooded out again throughout the district. Whether you lived in Bayside, whether you lived in Douglaston, but Whitestone got hit really, really hard. So I got on DEP again, brought out the inspectors from DEP, then the following week, brought out the deputy chief, and now I'm happy to say your catch basins are being cleaned out, the sewers are being cleaned out, and they're actually gonna walk miles through the sewer system to figure out exactly what is going on. We had cameras dropped, so I'm very pleased about that. So there's a number of different things going on, and that's about it. So I'm here for you. My office is on Francis Lewis Boulevard, 20-15, Franny Lou. Come by and see me. So many of you have already who live in this, in your community board. But you know, basically, you just tip into my district. It's more or less a community board 7. So with that, I'd like to say goodnight, and thank you very much. If you have any questions, I'll be here later. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councilman. We appreciate you coming. So now I'd just like to just invite any reps from any elected officials to come onto the microphone to make any announcements. I see we have some here tonight. I'm not sure if folks are interested in doing that, but if you would, if you're here repping an elected, you'd like to make an announcement, please step up. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. My name is Susanna. I'm the liaison at Assemblywoman District Office. I'm so happy to be here with you guys for the first time after Zoom and pandemic. And to be here with you guys, feel free to reach out to our office with any questions or concerns you may have. Additionally, we have some community reports that we've prepared that I left on the table if you'd like to keep up with what we've been doing around the community. And last but not least, I wanted to announce our Family Fun Day, which will happen on Sunday, October 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Farm Playground, where we'll have lots of fun filled activities for kids, including at the Memorial Smokehouse and a book cycle from Queens Public Library. And it'll be a great opportunity to speak with representatives from city agencies and local organizations as well. So feel free to take a flyer. Thank you, and thank you for welcoming me.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
that. Good evening, everyone. This is Ali Chang from Office of Seminar Lab One Center. And tonight I have brought our latest newsletter. I put it on the desk. If you're interested, please get one. And our office is on Bell and 39 Avenue. And our office number is 718-357-358. Thank you.
So much. Thank you. Any other announcements from the elected?
Hi, good evening, everyone. David Church from State Senator Joe Kansky's office. As Senator Liu indicated, the lines are changing, so the Senator will be representing the local area. But she's been in office for a while. We have a robust community services operation going on, and she's chair of higher education. So education is passionate for her as an educator. Recently, she introduced a bill to Senator Rosenthal to ask Cheney to do proper reporting of any hate crimes on campus. There's been a lot of anti-Semitic attacks on campuses lately, other ethnicities as well, and we just want to make sure these things are being properly reported. So that's what she's working on legislatively. If you guys need anything, please give me a call, 718-445-0004, or stavisky@nysenate.gov. Thank you. It's nice to see you all in person. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Can you guys hear me, Uncle?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, good evening, everyone. My name is Joy. I'm scheduled for council members' office. Unfortunately, Stella couldn't make it tonight, but I'm just here to make some announcements from our office. We are doing participatory budgeting that is going to be held at the Samuel Field Y Point Queens. That's on October 6th, p.m. And the next one and last one is October 13th at the Bayside Norris Hills Jewish Center at 6 p.m. And then next week on October 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., we actually have a NILAD band coming in, which is a band full of lawyers that just pretty much give advice on any legal issues or questions you guys may have. And that's going to take place at the Hollywood Hills Ranch Library, Queens Public Library.
It's going to be late.
And the second last one is a leaf bag that we're having at Cunningham Park in the parking lot. That's on October 23rd from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. And then the last event for October that we have is going to be on the 26th from noon to 1:30 on Zoom. Oath is actually having a seminar with us and in conjunction with the Bayside Senior Center. And they're going to help pretty much anyone who wants to join the Zoom, just who has questions about like summonses or hearing dates, anything like that about violations. So that's pretty much it. And if you need to reach our office, you can always call 718-468-0137. Or email us at district23@council.nyc.gov. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Can you just give us your full name again just for a minute? We just missed it.
Sure. It's Joyce, Joyce,
Choice, C-H-O-I.
Perfect.
Can I
see some
of the flyers at the desk? Yeah, absolutely. Please.
Thank
absolutely.
You.
Flyers at the desk are welcome. It's great to have so many people here speak. I got to say, I feel like we're putting the community back in the community board tonight. It just feels much more like we're all here together, be it in person. It's great.
Yeah.
Any other speakers for the elected officials? Okay, perfect. So we're going to go now into our public participation from the public. Now we do have a couple of people who signed up to speak. So as usual, just to go over our rules, everybody gets 3 minutes. And what I'm going to do is keep the timer up here. When you get to 1 minute left, if you're still speaking, I'm going to hold up one finger like so. That's your 1 minute warning. And then when we get to the end of your time, if you're still speaking, I'm going to politely interrupt you and just ask you to please conclude your thought. And then I'll ask that you actually just conclude your thought. Because we have to be fair and make sure that everybody gets the same amount of time. So first up is Sean Walsh. Sean?
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the community board and the community tonight. My name is Sean Walsh. I'm president of the Dodson Civic Association, and I'm a past member of this community board, Community Board 3, and I'm borough president's Charter Revision Commission 1973. And I served as chair of the Jacksonite Civic Association, and I also wrote the Community Board Numbers 197 and 8 Minor. I come to speak to you and the elected officials represented here tonight about the lack of confidence and transparency of the government as a whole suffers in our community, something I would never have imagined to say before. I have worked with many elected officials from both parties, and they've been very supportive, and they are still to this day. But today I see a lack of imagination and foresight, but also a lack of understanding of whom all of you serve. Let me begin with 2 points tonight. One is the Mitsuzumi restaurant rezoning. Let me correct the facts and the records as they presented. All right. First, Mitsuzumi's application is a spot zoning, as was the apartment house on the corner of Douglas and Parker and Northern Boulevard. Both are testament to government bullying and creating legal fictions to get around the law. You cannot hide from this fact. This board never designated Mitsuzumi for C2 zoning. We discussed it with city planning, we're told not to change the R12 zone and use BSA as a tool to moderate development. We ultimately used a special nature area designation for further development. That was our plan, not to rezone to C2. We've had a history since 1967 banning this strip and other strips in Douglasson to the wetlands, and now the climate reform, we certainly need to do that for that reason as well. We were told by the City Planning Commission our government representatives only modified the Mitsuzumi site recently, but we have been informed that the car wash and the Time Church sites were also made C2. In fact, no one told us in the quest for their grand settlement. Now let's discuss the proposed homeless shelter. First, there is a serious need for permanent homes and services for these people. What did the past administration do? Nothing but dump human beings into mass shelters. The facts are this proposal is not permanent housing. It's not with services. It's transient housing with no future. 74 women in a 64 square foot per side, that's their space that they have. That's 6 by 4 feet, okay? That's what you have there. Our engineers and architects have found numerous code violations that DOB is wavering. Why? We don't know, because it's a city project. Do we value these human beings? Do we welcome them to Douglasson? Yes. We welcome for permanent housing. DCA's plans for 320-foot square efficiency apartments with offices with services on site. Yes, this is the token. We will need any more sites like ours to accomplish justice.
Please conclude, Sean.
The current plan is yet unknown. Landlord violates the BSA strictures that was there for the prior Judea. And lastly, I just conclude by saying I'm asking DOI, Department of Investigation, to investigate the city's contracting arrangements in leasing these homeless sites with interlocking ownership. We are public officials. Where are they? What are they going to do about that? Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Next up is Paul Bagnano. Paul.
Sorry, Sean. Can everybody hear me? That's pretty loud. Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm here to speak on the Mizumi vote that took place last week. Many of you know me as a land use advocate and consultant, and I've worked very closely with this board for the Mizumi rezoning. I was actually involved in all of the meetings. I attended most of the meetings on Zoom, etc. I'm deeply disappointed in the vote and the decision by Councilman Palladino, and I wanted to just respond to a press release that the council member put out last week, which has a series of facts. And I just want to say that when people say facts, they may be facts to them, but they're not necessarily facts in terms of what facts are, which they tend to be the truth. So the first thing I'm going to say, I'm just going to quickly go through these facts and my responses to them. Fact one is the concern about a wholesale rezoning on Northern Boulevard. 9 out of 11 properties and 2 out of 3 property owners are now being rezoned. So I would say that over 80% of the properties being rezoned is a wholesale rezoning. The council member mentioned a restrictive declaration. Restrictive declarations, if they're private, must be enforced by a third party. You cannot write a restrictive declaration to yourself. And for those of you who don't know what that means, if I have a piece of property and I say I'm not going to do something on this property, even though I'm legally allowed to do it, like in Mizumi, where they can build up to 70,000 square feet now, where they have 7,000 square feet, that deed restriction, if it's not, excuse me, council member, I'm speaking, thank you. This is unenforceable unless there's a third party enforcement mechanism. Fact four, no one talked about single family homes or apartment buildings being built at this site. The whole point was this was controlled by a variance for 60 years, like the other properties that Sean brought up. This destroys that. This gives an as-of-right situation, which is why the community board voted unanimously against this. Alley Pond Environmental Center has not supported this application. They supported Mizumi. Mizumi sits on their board, or members of the family do, and they've donated lots of money to them. CB 11 did not support the expansion of Mizumi, which is fact number 7. The strip on Northern Boulevard in question can never be turned into parkland. Well, the rest of it was over a 50-year period. And finally, it would be impossible to build apartments, hotels, amusement parks, or tall buildings. That is also not true under a C22, and there are several architects in the room who will tell you that that is not true. It's just disturbing that this was done against the will of the community, against Douglasson Civic, and the people in the community, and the community board, and I'm very upset. So that's my response. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Paul. Thank you. Okay, so guys, we're going to go into roll call. And I get to hand the mic over to Joe here.
Thank you. Anatra?
Here.
Aviles?
Here.
Bind?
Yes.
Hudobin?
Yes.
Burke?
Here.
Cerezo?
Here.
Chu?
Here.
Chin?
Here.
Cayado?
Here.
Dadris?
Here.
December? Di Benedetto?
Here.
Donahue? Euler?
Here.
Evans?
Here.
Ferrazzoli?
Here.
Filas? Freed?
Here.
Fuentes Padilla? Gallatin?
Present.
Garippa?
Here.
Gizetti?
Here.
Golia?
Here.
Jadis? Haber? Haji Constantinou?
Here.
Hader? James? Jethwani?
Here.
Kelly? Lanzetta?
Here.
Lee?
Present.
Liotta?
Here.
Martino?
Here.
Maza? Mahaltzis?
Here.
Miller?
Here.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Patel? Pelbier?
Here.
Pavower?
Present.
Popa? Rastogi?
Yes.
Shearer? Sweet? Shiram? Turner?
Here.
Wong? Okay, thank you, folks. We do have a quorum.
All right, I was a little nervous, but we got our quorum here. Excellent, excellent. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, everybody. So we are going to vote here momentarily on the acceptance of the minutes. But this being the first vote that we're taking tonight, I just wanted to take a second here just to go over conflicts of interest and our voting procedures, since we did have a little bit of an issue at last month's meeting, and you guys saw we had a follow-up email. But I just wanted to go over this with everybody. So first of all, the types of votes that we can make here at the board, just to clarify some nomenclature here for everybody, including me, I had to brush up on this myself. So yes is a yes, that one's easy, okay? If you're voting for the proposal, you vote yes. That vote will count both towards a yes vote and when we're aggregating the total number of votes that we're counting for the vote. A no vote is a no. That means you're not voting for what the proposal is. That's going to count towards the no side of things, and it's also going to count towards the total vote count when we're tabulating things in the end. Then we have an abstain, okay? An abstain vote is when you choose not to vote on an issue. It is the equivalent of voting no. So if you vote with an abstain, that means that when we're tabulating the votes at the end, that's going to count as a no vote. It's the same as a no vote. You go in the minutes as an abstain, but it counts as a no vote. If you're not present to make your vote here, but you're part of the meeting, meaning you went to use the bathroom and nobody can find you and you don't have an opportunity to vote, that would be the equivalent of an abstain vote. Your vote will count towards the total number of votes. It'll be counted as an abstain, which is the equivalent for substantive purposes of a no vote. The only time that we would vote present is if you have an actual conflict of interest. The importance of a conflict of interest is that a conflict of interest will not be counted the same as a no vote, in the sense that it neither counts as a no vote nor does it go towards the total number of votes that we're counting to establish whether a proposal was approved or not. And tie goes to the no votes, Joe. So what this means is that in the end, what we're going to do is we're going to add up the yeses, we're going to add up the noes, and we're going to add up the abstains, okay? That's your total number of votes. Then there has to be more yeses than there are the aggregate sum of your noes and your abstains. You can tell I'm a lawyer, I'm doing my A, using my parentheses over here. But does everyone understand how it all works? Okay, if you have questions, all right, please let the office know. Really quickly, I want to go into conflicts of interest, all right? If you think you have a conflict of interest on a vote that's going to be before the board, we ask that you come to us in advance and talk to us about that. There has been a little bit too broad of a use of a conflict of interest vote on this board, and we're looking to fix that going forward, okay? To claim that you have a conflict of interest, you need to either have, essentially here, and I'm paraphrasing, but a direct financial conflict with what's going on, or familial conflict with what's going on, okay? It can't simply be that I have a spouse that works for the government in this area, or I work for the government in this area. So I'm going to give you guys an example. Tonight we're going to vote on something that has to do with education, okay? Being a teacher from the New York City DOE is not a conflict of interest. to not vote on a proposal that involves education, all right? If you work for an elected official, your spouse works for an elected official, that does not constitute a conflict of interest over anything that might be happening in the district. Obviously, both of these are subject to your direct familial or financial conflicts that you may have, okay? So if you think you have a conflict, please try and discuss with us in advance. If you are going to use it in real time, please know that's what it's limited to. Otherwise, members are expected to vote on issues and you'll be counted towards the total number of votes when we're tabulating for the record. Does everybody understand? Okay, I'm sorry for the answer. Yeah, Roy.
I had a question, Mike. The bylaws state who decides what is legitimate and conflict of interest?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be me, essentially.
Yeah.
It's going to be me, essentially. We do, however, you know, Joe and I, and where all this sort of came from, we do discuss things with the borough president's legal team, and that's generally who we would go to for second level questions in terms of interpretation.
And they gave us those examples.
Right. And when these examples, sort of generally speaking, come from those conversations. Okay, and I apologize. I'm going to try and be getting up to walk around to people to give them the mic. That was my bad, Lord, not your bad, but I do want people to speak into the mic because I feel like at previous meetings, every time someone speaks, we all have to the back and forth. Am I loud enough? Am I loud enough? So I'm trying to do away with that if we can. Maybe I'm realizing I will need another microphone next time, Joe. Just okay. To make it easier. So, but no need to do that now. Okay. So with that, we're gonna go. Yeah, Paul.
I'll say loud. Very loud. Just one thing is that it's difficult. Voting is not always easy. There's times like last month with the bike lane. But I voted. I voted how I voted because it was with my conscience. It's very important that people make a vote and don't abstain. I think abstention is, unless you have a conflict of interest, you should not be abstaining from the vote. We're here as responsible people. You should be voting, yes or no.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And just to say, that's not simply Paul's opinion. That is what we're here to do as community board members. That's part of the job. It's not always an easy job, but that is something that we need to do. Okay, so with that, we're gonna go on to what is sometimes anyway an easier vote, which is the acceptance of the minutes. We'll see how it turns out tonight. I'm on the edge of my seat. So the minutes were circulated in advance, as always. Do I have a motion to approve? I hear Mohan, do I have a second? Wait, sorry, I heard a lot, no, okay. We got our second, do I have any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, I'm going to call the question. Joe's going to take a roll call vote. Please bear with us.
Anatra?
Yes.
Aviles?
Yes.
Bind? That's a present. Budabin?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Chin?
Yes.
Cayado?
Yes.
Dadris?
Yes.
Euler?
Yes.
Evans?
Yes.
Ferrazzoli?
Yes.
Fields? Freed?
Yes.
Gallatin?
Yes.
Garippa?
Yes.
Gizetti?
Yes.
Golia?
Yes.
Haji Constantino?
Yes.
Jethwani?
Yes.
Lanzetta?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mahaltas?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Pelbier?
Yes.
Pavower?
Yes.
Rastogi?
Yes.
And Turner?
Yes. Did you miss Di Benedetto?
Di Benedetto. Thank you. Is there anybody else that I might have missed? Okay. Motion passes, folks.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Okay. So we're just going to move on to my announcements. I'm going to keep this relatively brief. So this last month, we did have a few mini meetings. So we had environmental on the 7th, we had landmarks on the 8th. Just want to say thank you to Henry and to Bernie for chairing those meetings. And then this coming month, we have a few committee meetings already scheduled. Public relations is going to be on the 17th. It's on the 17th, right, Jeff?
Yes.
So public relations is going to be on the 17th with our new chair, Flor Martino. And then we're going to do capital expense is actually going to be on the 18th. I know the meeting went out for the 19th previously, but we need to move that. So it's actually going to be on the 18th. If it hasn't already gone out, that update will be going out. And then we've got an environmental committee meeting on the 20th. To speak about committee meetings for a second, until the 22nd, we're still allowed to meet virtually for committee meetings. We're going to be doing that. After the 22nd, committee meetings will also be in person. Okay, so I just wanted to prepare everybody for that. But these meetings this month, up to the 22nd, will all be virtual. Okay, all that will still be on Zoom, so please do check your Zoom links for those meetings. Excuse me?
Where will the committee meetings be held? Here or is there like the office?
Yeah, so we're going to be holding them at the office, and we're also going to be keeping in mind if we think we have a meeting where the attendance is likely to be significant for COVID reasons, and what I just mean by that is for try and make people as comfortable as possible. If we expect a lot of people, we'll be spending a little bit of money and probably renting out the church across the street. We'll do that on an ad hoc case-by-case basis when we make that determination. You don't want to be spending money if you're going to end up having 3 people or 5 people or 7 people, but if we're going to end up getting busy, we're going to keep that in mind. And if people have feedback on that stuff, please do reach out to the office. We want to make sure people are comfortable and also that we'll be reasonable about things, okay?
Yes, it's scheduled.
I'm sorry about that. My bad. I'm sorry. I apologize. October 13th is governmental affairs, right?
Yes.
Governmental affairs on the 13th. I apologize. Okay, so that brings us to board member new business. And I know we have a couple of people to speak tonight. First, Floor, I think you wanted to speak. Do you want to go? Okay, perfect.
I have a question. This is Fred Martino. I'm the new chair of the Public Relations Committee. I'd like to have a meeting, our first meeting, get together on the 17th. And I'm very excited to meet with the members and all of you. If you can stop by on Zoom to get your ideas. I'm thinking that it would be a good idea for us to have a sort of a meetup because we have new members, and you know, over the last couple of years, and some of us really haven't had a chance to really get to know each other. So we're kind of thinking of having a get together on Friday or Saturday night. Thinking right now about Tequila Sunrise, it's fun. They can accommodate us. They have mariachis, which is a lot of fun. And thinking of having like an extended happy hour. Open bar and cash bar, and it would be about $14 a person for rolling tapas. So please let me know or let the office know if you're interested. We'll propose some dates. I think it would be a lot of fun for us to get together and be that's affordable. And if you have other things planned on, you know, on a Friday or Saturday, whatever we decide, maybe you won't be there long enough. You can stop by on your way home. It would be great to see you. In terms of the meeting, it would be really great to get your ideas and also members of the community as well, what you think is important, what you'd like to see, and what projects maybe can help support you with. And looking forward to hearing from all of you on the 17th. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Floor. I appreciate that. So I just want to say, I think what we're going to do, we're trying to gauge interest in the social media. So Floor had this idea. I think it's a great idea. Personally, we're always in here talking about community issues, but we haven't had an opportunity over the last couple of years to spend time with each other. I know some people are not interested in that kind of thing for various reasons, but some people are. So I think what we're going to do is just send an email out, BCC, to everybody, so that we're soliciting this kind of interest. And please, guys, I know you have a lot of things going on, but if you're interested, let us know, because those numbers are going to be what motivates us to set this thing up or not. So if you're interested, let us know, and then what we would do is probably propose a couple of potential dates and see when more people could make it as opposed to others, because it takes time and effort on everybody's part to put these things together, so we just want to make sure that there's uptake on the board. So please look out for that email, and then there'll be a follow-up email to those that responded that they're interested with a couple of proposed dates, so that we can choose a date that works the best for as many people as possible. Okay, and Floor, thank you so much for proposing that idea. I think it's a fantastic idea, and I love Tequila Sunrise. Okay, Henry, I know you had some PSA.
Thanks, Mike. This is the first evening that we've met the new board members from 2020, 2021, and 2022. This is the first time we've seen them in person. We've seen them online, but not in person, so it's really nice to see everybody. At the BSA this past month, There was one of our cases that was discussed. That's the Monopole case on 183rd Street and the Horace Harding Expressway. I spoke about it last month. The hearing was the day after our last meeting, and it also marked the first anniversary of when we approved that particular case in 2021. At that time, we approved it, 26 in favor, 13 against, 2 abstentions. And it went now to the BSA for further discussion. Now, the applicants appeared, and they explained their case. But I had visited the site before, a few days before, and it was just as filthy, and just the same graffiti that was on the machinery as it was the year before. So I was representing my civic association at the hearing, not the community board, and I mentioned it when I got my chance to speak. And I said that I thought it was a sign of disrespect to the community that they never came to clean the site or to get rid of the graffiti, and they did nothing about the fencing. The fencing was still, there were still open gaps in the fencing where anyone could jump over and get into where the monopole actually was. Now, they plan to go from 70 feet to 106 feet in height. Thankfully, two of the commissioners mentioned that, and they said that that will really stand out in the community. That's really going to be have an impact on the community. And they suggested that the base of the monopole be covered in some way to try to hide as much of it as possible from view. I suggested that they perhaps could make it into looking like a tree, like I've seen in other places. So we'll see what happens on that. After I spoke, they apologized, and they said they would do something about it. But I did visit the site recently again, and it's still as dirty as ever. The graffiti is erased, and they did put in a 2x4 to block one of the ways to get into the monopole. But there's still more work to do. And so they're coming back in 2 weeks for their continued hearing. Okay, the other thing I wanted to mention was the situation with the rezoning case that we had last, that we talked about before. I went to testify at the hearing, at the City Planning Commission hearing about this thing, and we actually missed the ability to testify at the subcommittee for zoning and franchises on July 28th, because nobody knew that the hearing was taking place. Now, the hearing is listed in the council calendar. Nobody really was aware of that. So we missed our opportunity to testify on that. And that's very unfortunate. So I had Mike had mentioned that we're going to try to have some kind of a meeting so that we can talk about that, so that we don't lose our ability to testify at these hearings. These are very important community hearings. And we should be able to give our opinions, and not only the community board, but the residents and the civic associations as well. And just recently now, we heard that the rezoning did pass, and the council person did make a modification to her stance on the rezoning. And then after that, we found out that the rezoning went further than that. She not only approved the rezoning from Izumi, but also, I don't know exactly who did, but somebody approved the rezoning for the church property and car wash. Now, if that happens like that, and we have no more ability to testify about that, that should trigger an opportunity for the community to testify once again to give their opinions, either pro or con, to what has happened. We lost that ability, and things just went ahead without our, without our knowledge. That's not right. It really isn't right. I also have been reading about some of the positions that the mayor has put forth. He's very much in favor of moving rezonings forward quickly, especially the upzonings, because he's interested in getting development moving and so forth. I think it's very important that all stakeholders be involved in any of these discussions, not only at City Hall, but also the borough president and the community. The community is the most important because we know the most about our area. Now, when I heard the people at the city council hearing, they didn't seem to care about what we said. They knew what our vote was. We voted unanimously to oppose the rezoning. Yet they never even questioned it. They never even mentioned it. Now, none of our council people were in these particular committees, none of the ones that we have here in Community Board 11. But these people, they really don't understand where we stand on these things. And I think it's very unfortunate that that happens. Okay, and finally, I just want to mention something about the mayor's proposal. He had a committee formed with two other commissions, and they made recommendations to put forward his agenda to have rezonings move faster along. And on one of the suggestions was that the community board should be left out of the EULR process when these rezonings occur. And I think it's perfectly outrageous that we would not be included in that situation. And also, then there was also another suggestion, not only should the community board and the community people and the civic associations be left out, but also the borough president. That's really terrible. And decisions are being made by people that don't know our area and don't know our concerns. It's wrong. And they also want to do away with environmental studies about the sites that are involved in the rezoning and the upzoning. That's another one of their suggestions. Or at least reduce it, lower it down, so that it's not that important. That's also outrageous. So I think that when we do meet to discuss the other stuff about making sure that we get notified when these hearings are going to occur so that we can participate in them, I think these committees should be notifying the community board and letting us know exactly when they are so that we can participate. You know, when they put out the agendas on some of these hearings so quickly either. It's usually a day or two before the actual hearing. So a lot of times, people don't catch that. And it's wrong that we don't get a chance to speak. So I'm sure that when we do meet, we'll talk about all of these situations and try to come to an understanding of what we need to do about it, I hope. And the last thing I just wanted to mention is those of you that remember Mandingo Shaka, a former board member who passed away in May, there's going to be a special honor for him at the Old Town of Flushing Burial Ground, where he worked so hard to have restored and recognize and honor the people that are buried there. There's almost 1,000 people buried there. And that's going to be this Saturday at the cemetery at 1:00. Everybody's invited to come. And I just thought I'd mention it because a lot of you did know Mandingo very well. He was a former board member. He was very outspoken about community issues. And he was a good person. He really worked hard to get that place recognized. He's responsible for getting the memorial stone put there. And we worked with Queens College to do research to find over 400 names of people that are buried there. Their names are now enshrined on the stone. And it's to his credit and his co-chair, Robbie Garrison, for doing this kind of work, and the Conservancy as well. So thanks so much for letting me speak.
Thank you, Harry. Thank you very much. Just a couple of quick points on all of this. So we're going to look into those comments on the Mueller process that you mentioned. Appreciate that. On the model bullet point, we do plan to write the BSA. Luckily for us, we've got some really active members on our board who follow up on these things, and we really appreciate that. It shouldn't be so difficult to make sure that trash is removed on a regular basis, and I don't think it's too much to ask, so we'll be writing about that as well. And then on the Mizzou piece, I think it's reasonable that people are frustrated that we don't always know when committee and subcommittee meetings are being held. We're going to be writing a formal request to all of our council members so that their offices can try and track committee meetings when there are issues that the board deals with and inform us of when those meetings are. It's not mandatory, so it isn't as if our failure to be notified about this was any breach of anything in terms of any formal requirements, but it seems pretty clear to me that it's a good idea that when we're voting on something that we know when it's going to council and to committee. So we're going to be requesting the board apprised of those matters as a courtesy so that we can then let our board members know and various constituent organizations so that if people want to testify or submit testimony, they can do so. And as a general matter, we're looking to have better information on these things going forward. So thanks for bringing that to our attention, Henry. And to the extent we can, we're also thinking about posting those meeting times on our website. In the case where we get enough advance notice to be able to do so, it often takes us a couple of days to get things up on the site. But we'll be doing our best in that regard. I know Floor wants to speak. Anyone else as a board member do business? I see. Okay, so Dawn. I saw Paul, Doug, and who else? Al.
Rob and Al.
Rob. Okay,
Omar.
Yeah, I saw Omar. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, there's not going to be any rejoinders, guys. We've got seven people. This is your time. All right, cool. Floor, you're up.
Christina, can you just give her the mic?
Thanks.
Oh, I thought you were saying that you wanted to speak.
Apologies.
Down to six. Good work.
Good that was work. Fast.
Down to six.
Good evening, everyone. I'm brand new to the board. Very happy to be here. I live in Douglaston for over 50 years, so I'm well entrenched in the community. My children have gone to school here. I've gone to school here. And I want to speak about the homeless shelter. I know there's a huge need. And I think the community of Douglaston, our whole community board 11, is compassionate about the issue. I think it's something that is overpowering our state, our city, and we need to find solutions. As I look at it now, I think we have an incredible opportunity to do something very different. That center is not going to serve the homeless. It's not going to serve the community properly. It should really be permanent housing. Permanent housing is the way to go. I think the community as a whole, we can do such good for those people. We can bring them into stability by getting involved. When you have a homeless shelter, it's what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? That's what the city is doing. So I think we should, on this board, really be lobbying for a permanent solution there that we can really wrap our heads around. We can go in there, I paint furniture. I can teach them a trade, go in there, help them learn something. And I think all of us sitting here would be open to really taking that little community of people and bringing stability to their life is what they need. We put a homeless shelter there with the capacity that they're looking at right now. There's a lot of issues that we're going to bring into our community. It's a fact that it's going to be crime. We have to be aware of that. There's not one school, but four schools very close to the location. There's a lot to think about, and I think we can do things better. And I think we should be proposing that to our mayor and our elected officials to do the right thing for these people, because what we're doing now is inhumane. They're gonna be sleeping, think about it. This is their cot. Right next to them, they have 2 inches. 3 inches to get up and go around. They can't even put their belongings, which is the most prized possessions they have, next to them or in the room with them. So I would really like to advance this further within this board to really propose something of this nature. I'm not saying let's not have a homeless shelter, not at all. I think we have to be compassionate, bring them into our area, but do it right.
Thank you, Dawn. Appreciate
that. Thank you, Dawn. So just update on the homeless shelter. As Dawn and I think you're aware of this, we addressed this as a board last year. As a general matter, we took a vote. We sent our letter in. The CAB was formed. We followed up with the city recently. Apparently, there's been some updates, so we asked to call another meeting of the CAB to keep the community informed as to what's going on. So that meeting should be held. And as far as I know, it hasn't been scheduled yet, but I have it on my calendar. If it doesn't get scheduled in the next couple of weeks, for us to follow up. So we should have a further update once the CAB meeting gets held. Paul.
Thank you. It's worth mentioning that about the Mizumi property. Everybody knows where Alley Pond Park is. You know, we're all familiar with it. Alley Pond Park was made up over time, all through the 20th century. And piece chunks at a time were added. But the strip, everybody knows where Alley Pond Environmental Center is, on the south side of Northern Boulevard, in the middle, right by the creek. All the property to the west, heading towards Douglaston, was R32, which is a residential zoning. It was left that way on purpose with a variance. If you wanted to put something there, you got a variance to the BSA. Mizumi came to us and wanted to get a variance. Somehow the variance didn't go through. We asked the lawyers to Mizumi right here. Not in this room, but in this community board, asked the lawyers, why are you withdrawing from that process? Well, we don't really know why, because they never gave us a clear answer. They were directly asked the question, I know that I asked them. So, but what does it say that we can't save properties that are in the alley? Those properties are not in some distant place where they should be commercial. Those properties were residential with the use of a variance all these years. And now, because of a vote in the city council, they have been changed and they are now going to be commercial. C22. Don't give me the overlays issue. All that means is that you could still build an R32 there. No one's going to build R32 there. R12, I'm so sorry, R12. So single family house. No one's going to build a single family house there. It's C22. And if Mizumi leaves, or the car dealership leaves, or anybody leaves, I would build it to the full. If I'm a businessman or woman, I would build it to the farthest extent that the zoning would let me, because I'm in business, right? So what does it say that this community voted unanimously against a rezoning, yet now we have 80% of the properties in that strip are now commercial? You watch. Mizumi's going to be built, or maybe Mizumi's going to flip the property, and someone else will come in and buy it, and they'll build as of right, because there is no public review in New York City. As of right, if you have a C22, if you have an R32, if you have any zoning you have, you can build it, and no one in the city can stop you, unless you want to sue them, but no one's going to sue them. So I am fuming that this community voted the way it did, yet at the city council, it was changed against. And as Henry said earlier, we weren't even involved in the end process. I think it's wrong. And you will watch over the next 5-10 years, maybe sooner, how we couldn't even save this property. This should have been the final piece. I had over the summer, and the council member was invited to that meeting. I had a meeting. I brought in Walter Mugden, who's from the Utils Cove, saved all these properties over the years. The city bought them. This community board was intimately involved in that over the years. I had Matt Simmons, Northeast Greens Park Director there. I had other members there. And we had assurances, excuse me, council member, we had assurances from our council member that rezoning was not gonna happen. yet 2 months later it happened. So I'm particularly upset about it. I feel like we were hoodwinked. And it's really a shame. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Doug, you're up next.
Hi, I'm Doug. This is Doug. This is Zoning Chair. Just a couple things real quick. I could speak about a lot more, but I'm limited to three. Number one, in the documents of the Earlham, when it talks about the city council or us, community board, in it specifically, it says, was there a quorum present at that meeting when they voted unanimously? And it says, no. So it states there was not a quorum when we voted in the documents. Number two, the vote last Thursday is online. We start at minute 25. It's in the package. Scott Solomon told me that those two properties had been added after the vote. I had no clue. I had been told all along it was just going to be Missouri. And finally, I spoke in front of the subcommittee this morning on Macy's Mall. I advised them that we put conditions on it for security. I met with Macy's Mall. The security guy has been hired overnight. He's there from 8 at night till 4 in the morning every night. They have security cameras being installed. We will have access to the 24-hour security to watch the site. And they've done everything they promised. I submitted a report last Friday with pictures, which I guess you guys will disseminate among the committee. Thanks.
Doug, thanks so much for following up on the mall. That's fantastic, and that's an example of a good outcome, you know, for us. And it's thanks to board members like you. So appreciate that. Appreciate your follow-up. Al, you're up.
Thank you. For the new members, the Governmental Affairs Committee on next Thursday will be meeting on several bills. I have room for one more bill if anybody wants to add a bill. What I do is I take a look at the bill and give a summary report on the bill that we then present to the board. Two, the area from Long Island Expressway to the Clearview, that path needs some TLC. There's some trees down and bushes growing all over. I was there. Number three, you forgot to mention your fine 5K, October 30th. At the Bayside Historical Society, it is a good 5K. It has one of the better spreads out of any finishing race that I've ever done. And if you're interested, to be here for that is the New York City Marathon. There's about 2.5 miles in Queens. I strongly suggest you go watch. I hope to be finishing my fifth. Last year, I did do the 50th. I showed you my medal on Zoom, and I did bring it tonight. This was the nicest medal ever. I think you did well, but thank you. And Paul's race is good. It's elitefeats.com if you need to register. And there's prize money.
Go to the website,
okay, yeah, do that one. He gets more money and doesn't get the elite
feats. Oh, my God.
Al, I love when you bring in the medals. It's awesome. That thing is huge. Oh, well, five marathons is no joke. I wish you the absolute best of luck. And just to put my own personal plug in, the Time Trot on the 30th, the Bayside Historical, fantastic event. I go every year that I'm able to go. I participated before. I'll be running it this year. You can run in costume. It's really, really nice. It's really fun. There's a nice reception afterwards, like the whole deal. So really a good time, and you'll definitely see me and my family there. Next up we got Rob.
Yeah, over the last couple of meetings, I've been hearing more and more, and came out again tonight, that the 111th is like half what it was a few years ago. I believe it was Jack Reed said it was up to 250 high watermark, and now it's about 140. And for Oakland Gardens, we're failing it, because we have a celebration every time we see a cop come down the road. Matter of fact, last Saturday, my wife was going out with her girlfriends to a house in Delaware. They were gathering around 6 o'clock in the morning. There was a car idling at the stop sign for an hour, and they were nervous because there was a guy in there. They called the police. 911 told them to knock on the window. I told them not to. And Then they sent a North Shore EMT to actually knock on the window. I mean, we don't know if the guy was having a medical issue, just, you know, tired, whatever. He was sitting there at the stop sign. I don't doubt, but the 111 precinct doesn't show up. And I think Councilperson Palladino said it. They don't chase anybody. I was at Councilperson's Lee's meeting over the summer with all the electeds and Senator Lou, Stavisky. They all said that, you know, they did a bigger push to double the fines for commercial parking being on the streets, and the new police chief in charge of patrol said that was his number one thing, and he's correct. They've doubled since July when they, so I'm not sure if they just don't know open bars as part of 111th Precinct, but it's very, very bare with the New York City Police Department. And I just don't know, is there a new rule book? They don't show up on accidents, they don't chase anybody, they don't show up when someone calls. Is there something that we should know? Is there a new handbook?
So I can take a little bit of that, Rob. This month, as you know, is budget season. We're beginning, later tonight, we're gonna have our public hearing to solicit new capital and expense budget items. And the district managers of the Queens delegation for community boards have had their our borough consultations for the budget this year. And something that we're hearing, not just from NYPD, but from all the city agencies, is that although there is a proposed 3% cut of every city agency across the board again this year, we are looking at every city agency is having problems, not so much finding the funding to hire people, but finding candidates to fill those roles. Almost every city agency is down due to retirements during the pandemic. Lots of people and having a hard time filling those roles. The 111th precinct is no exception there. In addition to that, our former commanding officer, Captain Portalatin, has been transferred. He's no longer our commanding officer. And tomorrow, the police, the community council, along with Chairperson Budabin and myself, and Jack Fried and Roy Gizetti, will be part of the, I believe it's a committee, you'd call it, to select a new commanding officer to give a recommendation on behalf of the community. For two candidates that will be taking over as the new commanding officer of the 111th precinct. I can't speak to how the police respond in what ways, except to say that there has been an increase citywide in the enforcement of overnight commercial truck parking. And our very own Detective Steve Rosa, who was our community affairs guy for a little while, is still in the precinct as our traffic guy. And they've been increasing those operations. Lately, they did one in front of the synagogue on Horace Harding in our Fresh Meadows section. Also, on the Grand Central and Union Turnpike, they had an operation, and on 73rd Avenue. Lately, the mayoral response has been to empower the police department to increase the boots that they're able to put on these vehicles, which is easier than the impound lots because there's simply not enough space to impound these vehicles. So that's everything that I have there.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Rob. Omar. Oh, I got you.
Good evening, everyone. Omar Evans, brand new member to this board. Part of what I bring to this board is a father of three, 12, 10, and 8 years old. So somebody please pray for me. My two youngest currently attend PS 31, and there is a construction project that is going on there that I would like this board to help bring some clarity and ultimately some finality to this project. This project started on that school in 2016. In 2016, scaffolding went up at that school. That same scaffolding is still there. They are claiming that there's litigation going on between the scaffolding company and the construction company. Meanwhile, the project was supposed to replace the roof and do brickwork. At this point now, PS 31 does not have a new roof. The brick pointing has not been done. The gym floor has now been destroyed because the roof was not repaired. And they have an award-winning technology lab in there that in this last rain also suffered more damage. And when the facilities manager was brought in to meet with the PTA and the principal, there was really no explanation given, no way forward. I feel like these children are being robbed of so much in their academic process. The yard is taking up a lot of the construction equipment out there at PS31. And I know as I sit on the SLT, the principal is just looking for help from someone to help out. And if this board could intervene, we could write a letter, if we could speak up on their behalf, I think that would be great. But everything is being destroyed. Meanwhile, these companies are saying that they're in litigation. And I think we should somehow, if we can help, I would love for us to do something.
I was just pointing at Justin because I think that's the second time that he got drafted for a committee meeting this evening. That's the kind of thing that we should be engaging in, Omar. So we'll set something up in the committee and you can look out for that. We'll be in touch on that, okay? Thank you for bringing that to our attention. So that's our last speaker doing new business. I just want to make a comment. I gave some latitude tonight because we have a little bit of a light agenda. As a general matter, I want to go forward, especially when we have significant agendas. New business should be limited to new business items, and that would generally be things that came up over the last month since the last meeting. That could be an update on prior issues. So, for example, we voted on the Zoom meeting, and the City Council of the Zoom meeting vote occurs. That's perfectly fine. But we should be, just keep that in mind that for new business, should be new business. And if you have something that you want to, an idea that you want to put forward or to discuss or follow up on an old issue, please email the office, and we're happy to engage on those topics. Okay, so just for people's understood. Okay. Public hearing on capital and expense budget committee. I don't think we have anyone signed up.
No one signed up to speak.
All right. So short public hearing right there. What I will say, however, is that for board members, we do have our own committee meeting on capital and expense budget, as I mentioned, already scheduled for October 18th. And so if you have input that you want on capital and expense, come to that committee. Okay. We're going to do it like we've done it in years past. We're going to have one meeting where we sort of talk about what we want to do and changes, et cetera. And I'm going to set up a second meeting so we can take a committee vote so that we really have a chance to talk about stuff because I really felt that I was helping the process previously. So especially this meeting, guys, if you have new ideas from a board member, just come to that committee meeting. That's going to be time to talk about it. And we can chat about it as a group. Okay.
The date, 18.
October 18th, that's going to be on Zoom, 7:30 on Zoom. The second meeting that we have, I got to talk about it with Joe, but I think I'm probably not going to be able to get in before the 22nd, so it's probably going to be in person. But the 18th will definitely be the first meeting there where we're going to discuss new issues and talk about concepts of how we might adjust our list from last year. As those of you who saw it know that we didn't have the most successful year on capital and expense this year, and so I think it's important for us to keep that in mind. With that, we're going to our committee report section. We've got one committee report this evening from Justin Chu on education. We are going to be taking a vote, so I'm going to pass it over to Justin here to introduce and go over the vote that was taken in committee. Justin.
Hi, I'm Gordon Maggio. Nice to see everyone in person today. So we had two education committee meetings talking about the school discipline code and also the two recent shootings that happened near our high school at Cardozo and at Francis Lewis High School. So for those of you who may not know about it, near Cardozo High School on Springfield Boulevard in Forest Harding, there was a student that was shot. And then also Francis Lewis High School, by Francis Lewis High School, from Francis Lewis High School students, I believe. There was also a shooting that was, I think, injured a student there as well. And then the day after, they found 20 weapons at Francis Lewis High School. So at the meeting, we discussed basically what is the DOE doing to make sure that weapons are not coming into the school. And also, we discussed how is the discipline code affecting our students, and is there a discipline for violent acts in school, and stuff like that. And we had We had UFT chapter leader from Cardozo High School join our meeting. We also had the PTA, members of the PTA from Cardozo as well, talking about the discipline code and saying that there needs to be, you know, stricter rules for our students, and the discipline code is really not working for the PTA or the teachers at Cardozo High School. So in our letter to the DOE, we basically asked the DOE what are they doing about the flow of weapons into the schools, because obviously we do not want to see 20 weapons show up at Francis Lewis High School again. And what are they doing about the discipline code in order to make sure, you know, that our students are behaving and that there are ramifications for any actions that they take. So.
Thank you, Justin. So the text of the letter was circulated to board members in advance. It's pretty straightforward. It's more about putting an emphasis on this issue and trying to get further information on it. The reason we're bringing it to the board level is that I know sometimes educational issues can be, you know, contentious. I don't think this personally, I don't find this particularly contentious, but we wanted to make sure people had the opportunity to speak on it if they so chose. One thing I would ask Justin, which I intended to add into the letter before it went out, we had discussed this, was just a request at the end of the letter to request that somebody from DOE come and speak to the board, as opposed to just giving us a written response. You know, I've lived in this community for some time, and it doesn't, you know, these issues, these instances happening, especially so close to each other, was relatively shocking to me and unusual, and I think it will be good for us to hear from somebody in person. So if you're okay with that, when we make the motion, we'll make the motion with just adding in a sentence here requesting that they come speak to the board. So everyone saw the letter. Do I have a motion from someone to approve sending the letter with the amendment that we'll ask for a request to come speak? Okay, I see. Do I have a second? Okay, I saw Rob was the first second. Any discussion on the motion? Adriano.
Really quick, I don't know if I sent you guys an email. The chancellor's office is not appropriate to read it.
Yes,
in Manhattan.
Saw that. Yes.
That was the only
thing
that changed. I wanted on the letter.
Thank you.
An excellent change that is. Thank you for pointing that out. Carmen, are you okay with that being amended to correct the address? Okay. Good. And Rob, give me the second. Okay, good. So as amended by Adriana to correct the address on our behalf. Any other discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, we're going to call a vote, call a question rather. Joe, can you take a roll call vote?
Sure. Thank you. Anatra?
Yes.
Aviles?
Yes.
Bind?
Yes.
Budabin?
Yes.
Burke?
Yes.
Cerezo?
Yes.
Chu?
Yes.
Chin?
Yes.
Cayano?
Yes.
Dadris?
Yes.
DiBenedetto?
Yes.
Euler?
Yes.
Evans?
Yes.
Arizoli?
Yes.
Freed?
Yes.
Gallatin?
Yes.
Garippa?
Yes.
Gizetti?
Yes.
Golia?
Yes.
Haji Constantinu?
Yes.
Jitwani?
Yes.
Onzetta?
Yes.
Lee?
Yes.
Liotto?
Yes.
Martino?
Yes.
Mahaltas?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Montgomery?
Yes.
Pilbeer?
Yes.
Pavower?
Yes.
Popa? Oh, sorry. Rastogi?
Yes.
And Turner?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, thank you very much. So before we adjourn here tonight, I just had a request from Councilmember Palladino's office. I believe for the council to respond. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. So as a point of information, okay, we're going to give the councilmember the floor. Councilmember, I just ask that you keep the conference relatively brief, just because we're a little bit over time. And I'm going to say we're not going to end up in a back and forth here. People were allowed to speak, and so we'll allow the council member to speak. And if there's further follow-up that people want to have, please send it through the office. And of course, people are also welcome to follow up through other community organizations as they see fit. Okay? So, Councilwoman, Nicole, are you going to speak?
Yeah, so I'm just going to say a few words first. So, good evening, everyone. My name is Nicole. I'm Councilmember Palladino's Chief of Staff. So I just wanted to say a few words before the council member comes up to speak. Let me just recap for everyone what happened here accurately. So the council member has hosted numerous meetings with all the stakeholders involved in the Zoom meeting since January. She has gotten the community's input, the community board's input, Douglaston Civic's input, Mizumi's input, and everyone involved, including constituents and small business owners. Over the course of these meetings, the council member learned more information, as is natural, and she did her job by taking into account all of the different sides, all of the different information, and then crafting a compromise that benefits not just Mizumi and the owners, but also the community and her constituents. That's why she always says she's not a politician. Public service is what she was elected to do, and the Mizumi application and the vote was a perfect representation of that.
Nicole, I'm sorry, I apologize, but please, keep factual commentaries fine, but okay. I don't want to stump speech, okay?
No problem. So, speaking of facts, I just want to go over very quickly the facts in the press release, because I think Mr. Graziano was a little bit confused on some of them. So, fact number one, when she talked about concerns about a wholesale rezoning, that has always been the case, hence why she cut the zoning. She never would have allowed the whole strip to be rezoned. Next, the restrictive declaration actually does have a third-party enforcer, and that is the New York City Council's Land Use Division and the Legal Counsel Division. So that is how a restrictive declaration works. Third, the R12 underlying zoning remains intact, which means that for any further action, it would necessitate for the council or the BSA to give discretionary approval. That is what would need to happen for these skyscrapers and amusement parks and tall buildings to be built. Those are the facts. Next, I believe Mr. Graziano did not include this, which is that Councilmember Palladino actually, in her restrictive declaration, also included a commitment from Mizumi to put into place environmental controls that actually address many of CB11's environmental concerns that were communicated to the council member and which she took into consideration. There are a lot more, but I know we're running out of time. So I just want to say very quickly that the only thing standing between an overdevelopment free-for-all and this community is Councilmember Palladino. If you recall, she negotiated a deal with J-Mart. She negotiated a deal from a rampant overdevelopment expansion to an as-of-right. That was her negotiation. So, this is very simple. The community board had concerns. She took them into consideration, and she acted on them by obtaining a restrictive declaration and cutting the zoning. And by the way, it's never been a spot zoning. If it were a spot zoning, it would have just been Mizumi, hence the term spot zoning. So I don't know where that came from, but that was never true. There were traffic concerns that the community board expressed that the council member shared. That's why we limited the expansion of Mizumi. There were small business concerns that constituents in the community also expressed, and that's why we supported the Mizumi owners. So she quite literally took every stance into consideration, as difficult and as impossible as that was. And lastly, to address transparency, she has hosted meetings, we put out a press release, we're sending out mailings to the Douglaston community, and we're also hosting a town hall. All in the name of transparency. Not just saying it, but acting on it. So with that, I'd like to introduce Councilmember Palladino to give a few words.
Well, what do you want, huh, for your attorney? Anyway, I just want to say this. I listened to Paul, and I'm beginning to wonder if he's running for office. Paul Graziano?
Wow.
I wish he was here. He got up and left.
Councilmember, I'm sorry. Please, let's just keep it to facts.
Yes, okay, that's right. Sorry. I did take everything into consideration, as I always do. I am not a politician. I am the voice of the people, and that's exactly what I did. So while I stood here and I sat here, I didn't run away, as your past elected officials would have ran out of the room. I sat there and I listened to everybody, as I always do. So I just want to say, the truth be told, when the time comes, you will all see the benefits of a C22 rezoning for Missouri. I cut that rezoning by over 5,000 feet. And I worked in environmental things with Missouri and with APAC. Everything was taken into consideration. And you know what? When you ride up Northern Boulevard, heading east, coming off the Cross Island Parkway, as I've done for my, I'm 68 years old, so I've done it for the last 50 years. It's been an eyesore, a real eyesore. And what's real curious to me is, I want to know where all the hubbub was about when that small 18-round miniature golf course that I took my 45-year-old son to when he was five, how did that allow to be grown into what it is today? It's huge. It's butt up against Udall's Cove. Why don't I hear anybody screaming about that? All I can say is I did what was best for a multi-generational small business. I took the community into account. Don't laugh, Paul, because it's not funny. And I'm telling you now that I will always, first and foremost, always take you, the people, and the community that I love with all my heart and soul into consideration first. I'm sorry if people's feelings got hurt here tonight, but that was to be expected. And I knew it was coming, and that's okay. I'm a big girl, I can take it. So thank you very much, and I want to see everybody happy in the long run. Thank you very much.
Mike, what's your point of order?
What's your point of order?
Okay, real quick. I mean, we've been told all these facts to all these people here, and now we're supposed to, after the meeting, call the office and get information.
No, you're not.
Let me just get to the point.
No, Roy, no. I'm sorry. No, I can't. I'm going to respond to the council member. I cannot open the floor to responses.
I just want to point out one thing that she said is absolutely wrong. Not you, she said. Just want to go quick.
Tell me.
Before at the committee meeting we had back months ago, the chief of staff, I believe it was, said that Ms. Palladino was against it before we even took the vote of the committee.
Look, Councilwoman, we gave you opportunity to speak. I hear you, Roy. I have to respond on behalf of the board on a few points here. We're not going to open up for back and forth. A lot was said here, and we have the councilwoman here to listen to everything that was said, and it made sense, I thought, to allow her to respond in real time, because otherwise we'd be following up after the fact to provide that response. Councilwoman, I have to say just a few things on behalf of the board. I'm trying to control my own personal opinion, which is my own personal opinion. But a few things. You weren't the only thing standing in the way of the zoning change. The board was also part of that process, and we voted pretty clearly on that process. And you participated in those meetings, and there were comments made that you were gonna vote against the zoning. Now, you obviously, that's not binding on you, what you tell us. But when you take things into account after the fact, and frankly, the issues that you were discussing, that you were taking into account, were mostly the very issues that we were discussing at that meeting, and notwithstanding the issue, the board voted unanimously not to approve the zoning. And so when we were given the impression, which we were pretty clearly, that you weren't supporting the zoning at those meetings, if you changed your mind or further input, which frankly was input that we already had and already took into consideration, we could have had a further discussion about it. But when you talk about transparency and hearing from the community, you heard from the community. As far as I can tell, the facts didn't change, your opinion changed, and we weren't given the opportunity to discuss that with you. We're not gonna have a rejoinder about it. I'm sorry, you had your opportunity, I'm just gonna respond. Because to me, there's a major point here. We have elected officials come to these meetings and they hear out the community and they discuss things with us. And I think, from my perspective, I haven't heard anything that suggests that there was anything other than a change of mind. And we had no opportunity to discuss that with you or talk about it or give you input on it. When we had input going back and forth, our understanding was that you were not in support of it. And that was all that we knew. And the way that it makes, I think, members of the board feel is that we weren't taken into consideration because whatever changed, none of that came through to us or in our discussions. So, long story short, I think...
Can I say one thing?
I'm sorry, you can't.
I cannot?
No.
Okay.
I'm sorry. And it's not because I don't want you to say one thing. No, you say one thing and then everybody else wants to say one thing.
Well, we'll have a meeting.
Yes, absolutely.
As I requested a meeting from you, but it was difficult to arrange.
What was that? I'm sorry, what's that supposed to mean?
Not saying is, why do you think I want to have a meeting?
I know, but it wasn't difficult to arrange because of me.
No, I don't mean you. I mean you and Joe.
Yes.
I wanted to have a meeting.
We also want to have a meeting, so we'll have a meeting.
Okay, that's all.
I'll take the heat.
No, it wasn't because of Joe.
Put up the minutes.
Okay. So, everybody, do I have a motion to adjourn? We're going to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
From Victor, second.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
Oh, boy.
That's exciting.